Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the Investis Holding Half Year 2016 Financial Results Conference Call. I am Shari, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Stéphane Bonvin, CEO of Investis Holding. Please go ahead, sir.
So, good morning to everybody. Welcome to this half-year presentation of our results. I will start with the market environment. As you know, in real estate, the key element is demography. So if you have the slide in front of you on slide 5, you can see that to have this strong demography, of course, you need also a strong economy. And I think that regarding the Lake Geneva region, the forecast for demography and attractiveness are good. For the next 10 years, you can see that Canton de Vaud and Canton de Geneva are much have a forecast much higher than Switzerland. Canton de Vaud, 10% increase of demography, and Geneva, 7.3. But also, it has to be very attractive, and Credit Suisse, based on this last research, increased the ranking of both cantons for the attractiveness thanks to the Swiss tax reform 3. Geneva expected to move from rank 13 to 4, and this is mainly influenced by the new corporate tax rate of 13.49% and Vaud from ranking 17 to 11, with also a very low tax rate from of 13.79%. Of course, if you have a strong demography and also a strong economy, you will have a low vacancy rate. On slide 6, you can see that compared to the rate of Switzerland, which is at end of June of 1.3%, Canton de Vaud has a vacancy rate of 0.8% and Geneva 0.45%. Regarding our portfolio, we are very confident to improve our vacancy rate, which is actually without the serviced apartment and just for the canton of Pau and Geneva, around 1%. So real estate, on slide 7, regarding the development of interest rate in Switzerland. So real estate is attractive if the interest rate stays at a low level. You can see that the 10-year Swiss government bond is at the lowest level since many years, and historical also. And also, what's very interesting to note is that we are now since more than 1 year in a negative environment. So we don't see for the moment any change. And of course, the residential property market will stay very attractive for the investor if we stay at this interest level. Also, it's very important to note on slide 8 that today the spread between the residential market and the 10-year Swiss government bond is something around 3%. It's the highest spread of these last 10 years. And, of course, we can read very often about bubble on the residential and also real estate market, but it's much higher, this spread is much higher than before. So we stay very confident in this market. Now, regarding on slide 9, the Swiss real estate service market. What's happening in this market? market will consolidate, driven by larger national companies. We have actually more than 3,000 companies nationwide with more than 17,000 employees operating in this Swiss real estate service market. The market volume is around 2 billion, and we have a segmentation. We have a very small number of larger national players, and we have many small businesses with an average number of headcount of 5 people. So for us, we see there a big opportunity to increase our business in internal growth, but also through acquisition. So I will now speak about our IPO. You know that during this first half year, the highlight were our successful IPO. The issuance price was 50 Swiss francs. We've seen that the performance in the last 10 weeks of trading were 13.5%. I remain main shareholder with 75.9%, so the free float is 24.1%. And regarding the lockup period, I have 36 months for shareholding of 67%. And 12 months for shareholdings above 67%. So now I will pass the word to our CFO, René Häsler, for the financial review of this first half year.
Thank you, Stefan. So good morning, ladies and gentlemen, also from my side. I turn to page 13 of the presentation, where we have an overview of the key line items in our income statement. Consolidated revenue rose to just short of 80 million in the first 6 months, 2.5% up, with a EBITDA before revaluation at 13 million, slightly below prior year. I come back to further explanations when I talk about the different segments. Revaluation was high also in the first half with 17 million, closing then the operating profit at roughly 30 million, which is up compared to prior year 5%. The lines below EBIT, net financial expenses, is slightly higher. Since last year, we still enjoyed some financial income, but also included in this 3.8 million are some IPO costs that need to be recognized in the income statement due to guidance that we received from the standard sector since we applied Swiss Cap Fair. Income taxes stable at just short of 24%, which leads then to a net profit of 20 million, 4.7% above last year. In the second bullet, you see the average cost of our mortgages, which decreased from 2.2 last year to 2% this year. This is as expected and announced during the IPO phase, so nothing new to report on that side. Our revenue profile is still 77% of our revenues are coming from the real estate services, while the profit contributor number one is, of course, our property portfolio and real estate services. As we said, we are in a transformation phase with some restructuring within the service business, and that we will enjoy higher contributions there in the coming years. On the next page, we have a snapshot of our very strong and healthy balance sheet. Total assets, 1.1 million because of the IPO that took place just the last day of the first 6 months. 77% of the assets are invested in our portfolio, which stood at 875 million at the end of June. This is financed if you want with the three items that are 93% of total assets, which is financial liability, mortgages included there with 332 million, deferred tax liability. You know, we have a full-fledged deferred tax liability, which accounts for 136 million, and shareholders' equity, 563 million, or just short of 50%. So all these key elements very sound and continue to be stable for us. LTV slightly below last year at 38%, still well below our target of long-term target of 40%. And if I look today with the growth on the cash, which is not yet visible on the balance sheet since the closing of the IPO took place 4th of July, just 2 days after the IPO itself. So I would say that LTV is slightly lower, but it will increase again to normal levels with the investments that we performed and will perform going forward. Page 15, snapshot on our cash flow statement. Cash flow from operating activities, 13.1 million. Here I would like to highlight that prior year was slightly diluted or massively diluted by the accounting principles that we follow, and we invested in a property held for sale, 10.3 million prior year, which diluted the number to even a negative amount of 0.3 million. So like for like, it's more in the range of last year. Investment activities, I would say, was rather low in the first 6 months. We purchased one property and continued to invest into our existing portfolio. And the last item on this slide, funds from operation, which is our key denominator for measuring cash earnings, up 59% to 10 million for the first 6 months. Next slide is just the visualization of how to arrive from cash flow to FFO or cash earnings. This is more to illustrate how this all is made up, the 9.8 million. So I switch to our segment reporting. I start with the property segment, and the key elements you see on page 17, revenue from renting of the properties, 20.2 million last year. And I come back on that on the next slide. Important here is to mention as targeted like-for-like rental increase. So the same properties year on year compared is up 1%. The rental income was, on the one hand, influenced by strategic disposal in 2015, but also in 2016, with some purchases which you will see in the second half of this year, which will then contribute to higher earnings in this segment. Vacancy rate slightly down to 3.2% versus 3.3% last year. Here we have two movements within the figure. One property that was half vacant we sold at the beginning of this year, so that had a positive impact. On the other hand, we started the full renovation of a property in the canton of Valais, which contributed heavily to the vacancy rate in the canton of Valais. If you have looked that up in our financial statement, there you see that Valais and other cantons have a vacancy of 50%. This is explained with this full renovation of a building. We emptied the whole building, which was still rented last year. Revaluation gains I touched on, and still to be mentioned, we have a well-diversified tenant structure. the five most important tenants contribute just 4.4% to our rental income. If we turn the page, we have on the one hand the left part portfolio value, 875 million at the end of June. Gross yield is as expected slightly lower than the 5.2% that we saw in the last 3 years. This is a normal development since the portfolio value grew faster than the rental income on the other side. Revenue development, very important to have the analysis of the different impacts. You see here the considerable impacts from disposals. Year on year, like-for-like rental increase, that is the key figure for us, 1% up. And the new properties that we acquired contributed 4.1% to the rental income. This is for the property division. If we now turn to real estate services on page 19. Here, very healthy and very positive development. Revenue, we could increase almost 10% to 69 million. And this comes from all three activities that we have within real estate services. So property management as the main contributor in here, which still counts for 55% of the revenues, is up 7.8%. And the smaller facility management and even smaller construction management both grew by 9.7%. An important figure within property management is rent under management, so the rents that we provide services for our customers. This key number is up by 160 million compared to December last year and stays now rounded to 1.5 billion. Not million, as I wrote this morning in an article of an analyst. So we talk about 1.5 billion Swiss francs. And here, a very nice highlight, Privero and Synergy, these are the main contributors to this growth in the service business. And here I would like to just remind you that Privero, in the last 4 years, they lost 25% of their turnover. And they are now in a strong growth path and contributed well positively in 2016 again. So we definitely saw the bottom of the revenue development. And from now on, they are on positive territory again regarding growth. So EBIT for the division stood at 1.5 million. As I said, that I would like to come back on why the EBIT contribution is down compared to last year. We had some considerable gains of new clients in the service business. And as you know, in our industry, in the service industry, the revenue slightly time-wise are deferred to the cost base that you have to install. One project took us almost 12 months to going live operationally. This mandate is now live on the 1st of July. So the respective revenue increase we will see only in the second half. But the cost, of course, we had already for the last 9 months in our books and for this as well for the last 6 months that we report now. And this slightly diluted our EBIT margin for the division. Headcount. We are now 6% up on just 1,112 staff, or an FTE of 892. So to close my presentation on page 20, you have the bridge, so to say, how EBIT for the Investis Group developed from 28 million last year to 29.7 million this year. Clearly, the revenue growth that we talked about, then the investments in our workforce and the revaluation gains that are slightly higher compared to last year, which contribute then to the 30 million EBIT as per end of June. So thank you for this, and I hand over to Stefan for the outlook.
Thank you, René. So outlook for the full year 2016. So we will continue to grow both segments. On the property segment, we acquired during July and August 9 properties for an amount of 65 million with a yield of 5.8%. And this gives us an annualized full occupancy property rent of 46.2 million. We have actually a good pipeline, and we hope to close five new acquisitions before the end of October. Still also at a quite good deal compared to the market. Regarding the real estate segment, internal growth continue, as explained René. Property management and facility management works well. We acquired quite a lot of new mandate. We need some investment, but the sale is really very positive, and also the market has seen mainly in Privera the change. And it's on the sales side, it's very positive. Regarding the 2016 EBITDA before revaluation and disposal gain, it will be almost the same of last year EBITDA. And regarding the dividend of 30 million, this is confirmed. And now before to conclude with the Q&A session, why invest in Investis? So we have the largest listed residential portfolio in the Swiss market. We have a robust and well-maintained portfolio focused on the Lake Geneva region. We have a very low vacancy rate. We are pure Swiss player. We have an attractive and stable return profile. We have a financial flexibility to take advantage of market opportunities. We have an established position with high barrier to entry. And finally, we have a highly entrepreneur model. So thank you. And now we will start the Q&A session.
The first question is from Jan Schöps, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good morning and many thanks for the presentation. I have a range of questions. First one being on the rental income. What is the gross yield going forward when you include the recently acquired properties? And speaking of those acquired properties, what is the vacancy of them? Further, during the IPO process, you were talking about four properties in the very near term, equivalent to an investment value of 50 million. Now we're looking at nine at 65. Could you quickly comment on those four targets that you were mentioning during the IPO? Furthermore, on the services, could you kindly comment on the acquisitions that you were targeting? Then last but not least, in terms of management incentives, could you please update us on how now the management incentive structure exactly looks like? Many thanks.
So thank you. I start with the first question on rental income. As Stefan mentioned, these investments that we performed in July, August has a gross yield of 5.8%. So the 4.9 5% gross yield that we achieved in the first 6 months that is going to stay. And depending on how you calculate that, it's between 4.9 and 5%. So no dilution on that side. And regarding vacancy, Stefan will then come back. The properties, all four targets that we identified in the IPO discussion, they are within these 9 properties that we purchased in the last 2 months, so they are included. And all the other properties that Stefan mentioned, that is over and above, and there we have, I would say, a solid pipeline for further investments. The real estate acquisitions, I mean, there it normally takes a little bit of time. We had some summer holidays behind us, so the talks that we started during the IPO phase and continued during the summer break did not materialize so far in a firm deal, but we are continuing looking at acquisitions in all three activities. But mainly, and as stated before, in property management and facility management. And continue with management compensation, if that's okay for you. Okay. Management compensation, there is no change to what we disclosed in the prospectus. So management is incentivized based on performance. And the numbers that you have in the prospectus are valid, and I don't see why they should have changed in the last 8 weeks.
Go ahead.
Stefan, maybe you can elaborate on the vacancies of the Newport
properties. Of the new properties that we bought, they are all fully occupied. So we have no vacancy on this. It's normal vacancy should be around what we have in Geneva and Vaud, something around 1%. I think under 1% is impossible to be. So that's all the property are fully occupied.
Many thanks. So a couple of follow-up questions on that one. So first one being, if you say that the gross yield on the overall portfolio remains at 4.9 to 5%, that implies naturally that your strategic divestments must have been higher yielding properties. Could you kindly comment on what's the rationale behind selling these better yielding properties? Second follow-up question would be on the management compensation. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but if I recall correctly, at the time of the IPO, a potential share compensation of the management was yet to be considered. So my question is if something has changed here. Thanks.
So the gross yield, gross yield, how is it calculated? And we disclosed the formula how to arrive at this number. In essence, it's a return on invested capital compared to starting of the year. Now, the portfolio value increased in 2015 considerably from 810 to 857. And of course, the rental income, you cannot increase in the same magnitude. That automatically leads to a lower gross yield as per the definition of this calculation. And I would not confirm that we sold higher yield properties in last year or this year to change to lower return levels with the new investments. That is a statement that I would not confirm. It's just a calculation exercise of the rental income compared to the invested capital at the beginning of the year. So, to the contrary, the investments that we did are at 5.8%, and I'm not sure whether you are familiar with the Swiss market and whether you find similar investments in other companies with a gross yield residential of 5.8%. And regarding management compensation, the aim is still to have a share participation plan for management in place, but we have not advanced on that side. And I would not guide you to expect something before year end to be in place. So this year will not be different to the disclosures we made in the prospectus, but it's clearly that we will, as soon as possible, introduce such a plan. And latest in the AGM, we will then vote for this as normally considered by stock exchange companies.
Many thanks.
Welcome.
Next question is from Stefan Schürmann, Bank von Tobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have three questions. First one on the services side, could you maybe elaborate a bit on the growth of Régie du Rhône and Privera in the first 6 months and if the construction management growth is sustainable? Then the second one on IPO-related costs, I understand you included 7.4 million into equity and I think half a million in P&L. Is that right? And then the third one on the further acquisition pipeline in real estate properties, another five properties you mentioned. I mean, what's the total investment volume here we talk about?
Well, I'll take the first two questions and Stefan, you then can elaborate a little bit on the portfolio, even so we are not yet closing the deal, so we cannot give all the details. I'm sure you accept that. Mm-hmm. So, Régie du Rhône and Privera both are in positive territory. Régie du Rhône continued its performance and growth as we did in the last year. We are not going to discuss in details company by company. We gave segment results and turnover for the three activities. And Privera, I would just again repeat that the negative growth time is over and that we are now in positive territory. And Privera, as you could see, contributed heavily to this turnover growth in the property management segment activity. Construction, no, I would not see the same growth rates in construction activity going forward. As we already said during the IPO discussions, that we will have less renovation in our portfolio. That means in turn that construction activity will have lower internal revenue, so to say, from the property segment, and they continue to have the same level of third-party customers. It's not that we want to enter heavily in that business and compete with the big players and general enterprises. So we do that on a, I would say, add-on service within real estate services. And the IPO cost, you correctly pointed out, end of June, 7.4 million was charged to equity and a little bit less to the income statement, 500,000. I don't know where you get this figure from. It's more a little bit just short of that. But again, the IPO costs are not final. We are still expecting final calculations from our banks on certain cost items. So the final cost at year end might then be slightly higher or lower.
May I insist on this one? I mean, further costs, further potential costs, will that then be booked to equity or to the P&L?
You can assume the same share.
Same share. Okay, thank you. Hmm.
Stefan, would you like to...
Yes, regarding this new five new acquisitions, so the volume, total volume would be something a little bit under 50 million.
Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
The next question is from Martin Hüsler, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My questions. First of all, the increase in operating expenses from 63 million to basically 66 million. Can we just multiply this by two in order to get the full year rate, or is there a further build up in costs that we have to take into account? And then the second question is about the divestments that you did in the first half year of 6.2 million. Can you tell us at what value you could sell this property? Was there a gain above the appraisal value of Wüest & Partner?
Thank you for the questions. Operating expenses, you can assume that they are more or less doubling for the year. The investments took place last year already regarding the corporate environment as well for the real estate service bits, and they were fully effective in the first half. So, yes, it's a good assumption to multiply this by two. Regarding the divestments, we accounted roughly 1 million of property gains from disposals. So yes, all three disposals were above the Wüest & Partner appraisal value, and yes, the gain was 900,000 or so that I have in my mind.
Okay, thank you. Maybe a third one. As you mentioned, you are into renovation of some buildings at the moment, which led to a decrease in vacancy rate. What is your assumption for the end of the year? What vacancy rate you expect for the full year, or let's say at the end date of the year?
It's the opposite. That renovation that increased the vacancy.
Right.
And the vacancy rate for the year, I would expect in the same magnitude as today, 3.2%.
Okay, so still some buildings will be under renovation then?
That building will, the whole second half of the year will be still empty, and the renovation is going on, yes.
Okay, thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Ian Schubs, Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi. Two follow-up questions, please. On the services, you said that the increase in rents under management were about 116 million. Is it fair to say that you get a roughly like 5% share of that on fees, so on an annualized basis, revenues should increase about 5 to 6 million on that? Second question being on the revaluations. How much of this is due to the further reduction of the discount rate, please? Thanks.
I try to explain the not too easy questions. Discount rate, as you could see in the presentation, it decreased to 3.87%, so down 17 basis points. Now, it's as explained before, it has always four elements. One is the like-for-like rental increase that increases the value. Then the renovation and investments into the properties, which don't lead immediately to higher rental income, that is a negative part on the valuation, on the revaluation gains. Then, as you correctly pointed to the discount rate, which is 17 basis points down. And then the third element is, and this was not the case in the first 6 months, higher valuation by Wüest & Partner on purchased properties. So, you know, it's always difficult to say what is first. In the contribution, I would say the main contributor in here, calculation-wise, would probably be the discount rate. And the first question was about the rent on the management of 160 million. No, you cannot assume a 5% return rate on that. Partly it's already in the first 6 months, and partly it comes in the second half. And as said, it depends on the type of contract, whether you have a full property contract or just a technical or a financial mandate where the range of fees is between, I would say, 1.5 to 4%, depending really on the property itself and also on the type of services that are expected from the owner.
Thank you. And the you said that probably the largest share of the revaluation is due to the discount rate. Could you quantify that, please?
I have not made the calculation, but from no, I can't.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Martin Hüsler, Zürcher Kantonalbank. Please go ahead.
Yes. Could you tell us what the new tax regimes in Geneva and also in Canton of Vaud would mean to your deferred tax liabilities, according to your estimates at the moment?
It's all assumptions, since the tax rates are not except for Vaud in the law. So Geneva is just discussing now with the local corporates whether the 13.49% is the right rate to be at the end of the day. But assuming that the rate goes down to 13.5% and Vaud stays at the 13.79%, that is in the law. They voted in the first half of 2016. And today we have a, I would say, average tax, deferred tax rate of, let's say, 23.5%. If that goes down to below 14%, it's a little bit less than half of the deferred tax that goes away.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Federico Rapini, AWP. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have a question about shareholders for the shares listed in six. You said that no shareholder is above the 3% mark. However, can you say, please, a little more about the people or companies who invested in Investis, the composition Swiss, non-Swiss, and do you have big names among your shareholders? Also, can you please give us the exact dividend per share you intend to pay for 2016? Thank you.
The shareholder base, I mean, on the one side, we have not full visibility on the shareholder base.
Mm-hmm.
We have about just above 300 shareholders registered today,
mm-hmm.
With ranging from one share to many shares. And there is a considerable amount of undisclosed shareholders, which are the so-called Dispo-Bestand of the banks. So if they don't disclose themselves, we don't know who they are. The bulk of the investors is still in Switzerland. So we are far from being questioned on the Lex Kohler, if that was the question where you guided to.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot give more details as the shareholders don't give us the details themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The second question was on the dividend per share. I mean, I leave it up to you to make the rounding. If the, at the end of the day, it's the General Assembly on the 27th of April that will decide on the exact dividend amount, and the Board of Directors will also decide somewhere in the first quarter on their proposal to the AGM.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take the 30 million.
Mm-hmm.
and divide that by 12 million 800 shares, and make a rounding, you would arrive at about the level of dividends that can be expected.
I make the rounding myself. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Next question is from Daniel Feldman, Timber Creek. Please go ahead.
Very good morning. This is Daniel speaking. I have a question more fundamentally based as you use Swiss GAAP FER versus IFRS. Can you maybe elaborate about the trade-off between obviously having less cost with Swiss GAAP FER and more or less limited disclosure compared to IFRS? How do you determine this trade-off going forward? And the second question would be a follow-up on the question before. How do you actually make sure that you comply with the Lex Kolo legislation when you are obviously not having full disclosure who your shareholder base is? Thank you.
Yep. So I start with the easy one, Swiss GAAP FER. I mean, if you talk to any CFO on this planet, whether they would like to apply Swiss GAAP FER or IFRS, you would get a clear answer because IFRS is going into a direction that is not in line with expectation of, I would say, also investors and but also corporates. I think we disclose almost the same amount of information as under IFRS. Take deferred tax as one very important element on our balance sheet. We don't discount that we could under Swiss GAAP FER. IFRS disallows, so we are, I would say, compliant with IFRS on that respect. And also all the other important accounting principles, we follow the guidance that internationally are applied. But we take the opportunity to follow the slightly smaller disclosure requirements under Swiss GAAP FER. I mean, not to mention what is going on the pension scheme, which is not applicable to us since we have no own pension funds. And then the whole disclosure marathon on financial instruments and rental contracts, I mean, that is just going too far, and we decided not to follow that path. Regarding Lex Kolo, we are in constant talk whenever a shareholder discloses his shareholding to us and ask whether he is under Lex Kolo a non-Swiss or a Swiss, and then we track this. And for the next 3 years at least, Lex Kolo is anyhow confirmed through the shareholding of Stefan Bova, which is above 67%.
That makes sense.
But we track all shareholders that disclose their shareholding to us, whether they are Swiss and non-Swiss. And we will then also disclose in the annual report information about statement Swiss and non-Swiss in order that you can track that. That is point number one. And then point number two, if I may, we have in our statutes a clause that should there be a potential problem with Lex Kolo, that we deny the voting on the shares for non-Swiss people in order to protect all investors, that investors can continue to invest into residential properties.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Many thanks on that.
Welcome.
We have a follow-up question from Mr. Stefan Schurman, Bank von Tobel. Please go ahead.
Yes, I have two follow-up questions. First one, just to come back to the services units. I mean, you mentioned that you wrote more revenues and or more cost than revenues in the first half. But, I mean, just to get a bit of a feel, you know, maybe how much of extraordinary sort of cost was included in the first half result and how much did that level out for the full year, or basically talking into EBIT margins, you know, how much would we expect that to normalize? And the second one, a short question on the development portfolio. You show a small negative 0.47 million negative contribution in revaluations from the development portfolio. I mean, which one is that exactly?
Thank you for this follow-up question. The investment, I would not call them extraordinary. This is not a path that I would like to follow. I mean, we invest into our workforce, and it is as it is, and we would not start to normalize or whatever kind of profits or underlying profits or whatever you could think of. We invest into workforce, we say it, we disclose it, and we work on improvement of the margins, as we stated during the IPO and also today. We confirmed that 16 and 17, we need to reorganize our businesses to get up full to speed. And this is the path that we continue and give us the time that we asked for them to be where we would like to be in the years after 2017. But the question from the from your colleague before, operating expenses, they would continue as in the first 6 months, so no further dramatic growth on that side. And regarding the development property, not sure where you got this information from. That we
from your half-year report.
Okay.
Maybe we can follow up that after. It's a detail, no problem.
I have to look that up myself. I'm not aware that we decreased the value of the development properties. Are you talking about the 500? Oh, this one. The 533, which relates to the first 6 months, 2015, maybe.
Yeah, maybe I have to check again, yeah. Oh, sorry.
So we can take that up bilaterally. Yeah. But I'm not aware that we had a devaluation in the developments this year.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Okay.
That was the last question.
So thank you very much for your participation in this half-year result presentation. And
yeah. Thank you, and
talk to you when we see us again in the near future. And latest on the 22nd of March, when we present our full year figures 2016. Thank you very much, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call, and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.